The idea, just as kind of intro, was just that. So, Royale, you just thought there might be a nice idea just to do a little thing once a week. Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, you keep it up. So, basically, just to kind of ask a question, maybe, like, select questions. So, if people themselves, like, have good questions, like, and then it'll be a great thing. But I think the idea was to select a question, then give a bit more, and kind of an insight also into the Indian as well, yeah? So the question for this week was on the very first duff, yeah, and hopefully we'll be looking a bit more into depth into the concept of muksa and nolat, yeah. So here comes the question, right? So hopefully here should flow a bit more smoothly because we kind of know the Gemara so well. but before we get into the answers, yeah, of Rab Nachman rather, so the Gemara basically sets up the question as follows, yeah. So we've got obviously an argument in the Mishnah of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, right? About whether you can eat this egg that's laid, yeah? And what the Gemara says is basically kind of either way, right? You set it up, it's going to be a problem. Why? Because if you're going to say that this egg comes from a chicken, yeah, that is meant for eating, right? Then we turn around and we say we don't really understand Beis Hillel, right? If it comes from a chicken that's meant for eating, yeah, of course the egg, you know, we take on as a kind of a dvar pashut that the egg should be something which you can also eat. And, you know, the Lashon is uchla de efrasu. Okay, fine. Later on then, we say, okay, so maybe it comes from a chicken which is not meant for eating, it's meant for laying eggs, right? And basically the Gemara says, yeah, well, in that case, I don't understand the other way. I don't understand Beis Shammai. I don't understand why Beis Shammai should say, yeah, that this egg is fine, yeah? And we speak out because even though the chicken itself, leis le muksa, we'll speak that out in a bit, yeah? There's no problem muksa in relation to the chicken. But the egg is worse because the egg has a problem of nolat. Okay, so that's basically, in summary, how it speaks out. Now, let's just take that second part for a second and look in a little bit more detail, yeah? So when we say, basically, that there's no problem of muksa by the chicken, so that's the famous sheet that we saw, Rabbi Shimon, yeah? So what's Rabbi Shimon's sheeta? So I think we all spoke this out a bit, yeah? It doesn't mean that there's no such thing as muksa at all, yeah? In fact, we know that Rabbi Shimon, there's a number of categories of muksa that for sure he's going to hold by, you know, things which have kind of no usage at all, like, you know, something which is like, an example is wet figs that literally it's with your hands you put up onto the roof to dry. Tosfos later on the second duff is going to talk about Hisron Kiss, something that basically definitely for sure has no use, could be Rabbi Shimon would agree, is a problem of muksa. So when we say leis le muksa, the simple understanding of that means, yeah, is that Rabbi Shimon, when you have something which has a primary purpose which you can't use, yeah, but also has a secondary purpose, yeah, that potentially you could use, yeah, on Shabbos or Yom Tov, yeah. So that's what we mean, leis muksa, which means Rabbi Shimon looks also and says, you have in mind also the secondary purpose. So our example, a chicken, yeah, that's there for laying eggs, yeah. So the chicken for laying eggs, it's true, it hasn't got a usage, so to speak, yeah, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, yeah. So on that aspect, you would have thought maybe it should be muksa. But if you're hard pressed and you need food, yeah, you could shecht this chicken. That's a secondary purpose. So says Rabbi Shimon, you also have in mind, that's also, so to speak, let's put it that way, it's also an eating chicken in a sense, yeah? And therefore it doesn't have muksa, right? But, says the Gemara, right, nolad is worse, yeah? Now nolad is a kind of subform, you could see it as a subform of muksa. And Rashi speaks out, the classic understanding is, why is nolad worse, right? Because muksa, we know that is a question of whether you had it in mind. Something which is nolad, the simple understanding is, it's kind of born on Shabbos or Yom Tov, yeah? It wasn't around to have in mind, yeah? So therefore, the egg is going to be worse. Good. Now, once we've spoken that out, I think there's an obvious question that needs to be asked in terms of the first section and the second section. Because once you say that even, you know, an egg is nolad, it's worse, right? Then going back to the beginning, yeah? The fact that we had a chicken right at the start that was for eating, yeah, we took it on as obvious, yeah, that the egg that's born is going to be okay. Why was it so obvious? If the egg wasn't around, yeah, and we're going to say nolad is a more serious form of muksa, right, then we should say right at the beginning that maybe even, you know, for the reason why Beis Hillel says it's asa is because, fine, the chicken is fantastic, yeah, but the egg is nolad, right? It wasn't around, yeah? Maybe it's worse. You couldn't have dust on it. Even though the mother was there for eating, fine, but the egg wasn't around. And if you're going to tell me, yeah, kind of mamanefshach, if you're going to tell me, okay, somehow there's a svara here, right, of uchla de efras, like, you know, food which is separated, yeah? So, and that somehow means the egg is okay, yeah? Well, then later on also, yeah, remember, we're saying within Reb Shimon, he also has in mind, in a sense, yeah, this egg-laying chicken is also part of the purpose, is it's for eating as well, right? So why don't we also say uchla de efras later on? And we don't. We say that no, you know, it's worse because, you know, of nolad. And uchla de efras at that stage isn't seemingly a svara to help us with that. So b'man afshach, why is it that there's this switch going on, yeah? So that's the question that I want to kind of explore in more detail. So basically, there's two real approaches in the Rishonim, yeah? But before we get on to those approaches...
So you're basically saying that the Gemara's, by simple understanding, is really, it's a bit hard. Because yeah. Meaning, if it's no lad, I mean, why is the Gemara understanding all of this hell? Possibly it should be, like, why is it also? Meaning, sure it should be also.
Yeah. Fine. Maybe, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sorry, it's kind of both ways, yeah? The Gemara... Yeah. The more first, yeah, at the start, we don't mention anything about nolad, and we have this svara of uchla de efras that seemingly makes the egg completely fine, right? And then later on, yeah, we say that even if you know, even if leis le muks, which means that it's actually not so far away from eating chicken, but nolad is worse.
Right.
So how do you reconcile those two? So before we get into the two answers, it's important to point out one thing, which is it's a basis, in a sense, could be for both answers, which is that, you know, if it was this egg that we're talking about, yeah, if it was that literally coming into Yom Tov, yeah, the egg wasn't around at all, and the egg could get formed and then kind of born and, you know, and laid on Yom Tov, yeah, it could be that there would be nothing to talk about, because that could be a much more serious form of nolad. Right, something that we call the Rishonim speak about as being nola gamur. Right, so in halacha, by the way, it's kedai to watch out for that, because in a classic example of nola gamur, that in the Maisa, people talk about the air conditioning. Yeah, that, you know, you see air conditioning like dripping with water, and you'll see people do all fancy things in order to avoid the problem, because that water that comes, we see it as being literally coming out of nowhere. Yeah. So nola gamur is more serious, and even Reb Shimon could agree to nola gamur, right? Everyone could agree, even the maskana, yeah? So we know, we've seen in the continuation of the Gemara, we see the hefuch, yeah? And, you know, Tosafot really points this out, that actually an egg that's laid on Yom Tov, actually we're going to say the opposite. It was finished, right, even before Yom Tov came in. So it's important that although we're talking about nola, it's a slight, it's not a mamish yeshma ayin form of nola completely, yeah? The egg is there, but it's just inside the mother. So therefore, there's what to talk about in terms of, you know, it's covered up and then it comes out, in terms of whether it's complete, you know, the form of nolad it is. Okay, but that's the first point which is important to make. But now, in terms of these two approaches in the Rishonim, yeah? So the first approach, yeah, which is in the Run and the Orazua, comes with a chiddush, yeah, in terms of the understanding of what nolad is about. And basically, their chiddush is that nolad is not just something kind of new coming about, but it's also where you've got something which is new to an extent, yeah, but also has a change of purpose or a change of function, yeah. So an example of that, for instance, is shivrei kelim, right? So you have a case, let's say, where you've got a bowl, right, and then the bowl has obviously a function. You're using it for food, right? The bowl breaks, yeah, and you've got the pieces of the bowl, yeah. Now, the pieces of the bowl you could use to, let's say, like, cover something, right? But, you know, cover a little glass thing or whatever, yeah? So it also has a kind of potentially usable function. We don't do that much nowadays, but that's what they used to do, yeah? But it's a very different function to the bowl itself, yeah? So that could be an example of where the shivrei kelim were, in a sense, new in the sense that they have this new function, right? So that being the case, yeah, this could be how then you reconcile the two things, yeah? Where you've got, yeah, a chicken, right, which is an egg, which is a chicken for eating, yeah? So we see that the only purpose of that chicken is eating, that is food, yeah? And therefore the egg, right, that is then born, right, the egg is also, we know, food, yeah? So that is really not within this definition, that's not real nolad, because it's, you know, food that comes out from that. Okay, it's a bit new, yeah, it was inside, it was covered up, and it comes out. But that doesn't qualify as being nolat, yeah? In contrast, yeah, when you then look at the chicken which is there for laying eggs, it's true it has a secondary purpose, but the primary purpose is laying eggs. This primary purpose of this chicken is not food, yeah? And therefore, it's a kind of a real kind of non-food chicken, and then out comes something which is food. That is kind of a change of purpose. And when you look at the purpose, fine, you can focus on the primary purpose, yeah, of the chicken. Even though for muksa purposes, maybe it's not going to be muksa, but the primary purpose clearly is to lay eggs. So that's the first answer,
but
yeah?
But egg is also food.
I know, but the primary purpose of the chicken was for laying eggs, so that's not food. No. The chicken itself is not food. The primary purpose.
In my own mind, so I see the chicken, the gobble baits, I see it as literally like a manufacturer. So it's like a manufacturer. It's a metal chicken.
That's right. It's not. It's a factory chicken.
It's a factory chicken.
It sounds quite to that, though.
In this sense, right.
In this sense, and when you focus on the change of purpose, you do see a change of purpose.
So if
you say this, then there's a bit of a different taich, and the Tosfos Rebbeinu Peretz speaks this out to the words, right? Uchla de Ephras, right? Right at the beginning, we said Uchla de Ephras. So here, the way Tosfos Rebbeinu Peretz speaks it out is Uchla de Ephras, food that separated. The way he taiches it is that beforehand it was food. Beforehand you had a chicken that was food, and here what comes out is also food. It was food and it is food. Uchla de Ephras. It's food that separated. Okay, so that's the first approach in the Rishonim. But the Tosfos Rebbeinu Peretz, for instance, doesn't like this. He says why? Because he says that at the end of the day, this idea of food that separates, that's okay, but for something like Shivrei Kalim, yeah, where you've got it all in front of you, yeah? But where something is not there, then he says that's not enough. He doesn't like that. He doesn't feel that's enough, right? Because something which wasn't there and then comes about, seemingly he still feels should be nolat, yeah? The fact that there's no change in purpose, he doesn't feel that's enough if it wasn't there and then comes about, right? So instead, the second approach in the Rishonim is something a bit more fundamental, and something was spoken out in Shir and people were mechaven towards it, yeah? Which is that maybe you have to say Uchla de Ephras is a more fundamental svara, yeah? It means, right, that really, that when I look at this chicken, yeah, I think I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to eat the whole chicken, yeah? And since inside the chicken is an egg, right, and you know it's really, you know, part of the chicken, yeah, it's like, imagine if you have a loaf of bread and you cut off a slice of the loaf, so there's a slice inside, fine, yeah, but it's part of one food item effectively, yeah. So that being the case, that's why there's no nolat, because it's all there, and you see the whole thing as one big package. In which case, right, uchla de ephras literally means, right, it's food separated from food. It's all one food package. It's a bit of a different touch, yeah? But now the problem with this is, yeah, with this approach, is it needs a bit more explanation. Because when we then go into the chicken, which is the egg-laying chicken, yeah, in a sense, right, that is also food, yeah, for Reb Shimon, yeah? Reb Shimon also says it has a secondary purpose of being food, right? So if you're seeing it as one big package, right, insofar as he's also thinking of this package, it's food, yeah, and we're saying the egg is just part of the chicken, yeah, then why shouldn't it be part of the chicken in terms of, you know, that secondary purpose as well, yeah? I see this chicken as being primarily for laying eggs, but also for food. So if I see it as food, then I see the whole thing as food. So it needs a bit of extra explanation, this aspect. And here Pnei Yeshua says a svara, and this is the last point on the sheet, yeah? Geshmak a svara, which redefines a bit the idea of Rim Shimon and the idea of Muks and Rim Shimon, yeah? And what he says is so far we're saying with Rim Shimon, you look at a primary purpose and a secondary purpose, and our initial assumption was that right on day one, right at the beginning, yeah, you have both of those things in front of you, yeah? And that's why it's not Muksa. But Pnei Yeshua says, no, you have to, let's change that a bit, yeah? Really, one looks at the chicken, yeah, the egg-laying chicken, and it's an egg-laying chicken, yeah? So you don't really have in mind, so to speak, yeah? Or, you know, or we don't count the fact that you have, that it can be eaten, right? But what happens is, he says, the mechanism is that later on, when you need to eat it and you shech the chicken, at that stage, he says, retrospectively, we say that it's kind of a Lomdisha thing. We say that the chicken all along can be changed in designation to becoming an eating chicken. Yeah? And we'll see that there's actually a Gemara later on that talks about a stunned chicken that your usage later on, as kind of form of Breira, can retrospectively change how you view the whole thing. In which case, this is his Geschmack of Ort, yeah? That when you when an egg is laid from this chicken, yeah? The chicken's still around, yeah? This is still an egg-laying chicken, yeah? Right, so even though for Rabbi Shimon it's not muksa, because if you shechted this chicken, retrospectively you get changed, but you haven't shechted it. This chicken is still a full egg-laying chicken, right? In which case, yeah, the egg that's laid, you can't say it's uchla de efras. It's not part of the chicken, because insofar as this chicken bichlal was not really for eating until you shechted it, so it's purely an egg-laying chicken. And therefore, that's that. This distinction of uchla de efras you can say at the beginning, but won't be able to be said later on. But the nafgamina, he says, and this is the Pnei Yeshua's Chiddush, is if you had that egg-laying chicken, it laid an egg, and then you shechted the chicken, says the Pnei Yeshua, tremendous Chiddush, that egg would now not be nola. That egg would, in fact, be uchla de efras. You would see that as being separated from the food. Yeah, so anyway, true. Yeah. So those are the two answers in the Rishonim in terms of, I mean, similar but slightly different taiches.
Very good. It's kind of something interesting. Just like for Shabbos speaks about, if you put on, for example, shkoyach, by the way, like just a question you were saying on, you know, seeing a like a factory chicken, right? So for sure, well, if that's your paranos or whatever it might be, that factory chicken essentially is like, you know, you're not going to touch it, you're not going to eat it, but derech klal, that's like. So in Shabbos, we know that if, for example, you put on raw meat onto the blech, if no Shabbos, then there's never going to be a situation where you're going to come through the gor for cotton, and it's like basically it's out of your mind entirely, right? So that's why we are allowed to do that lifting Shabbos.
Yeah.
Yet we know on Shabbos itself that it's going to end up becoming Gemura. It's going to be completed on the Shabbos itself, and we benefit Tucker from that food that was raw. So Ke'ilu, like, I understand Rabbi Shimon's position on the egg, meaning maybe even like where it's a sort of a slightly lower form of mola, meaning that the derech klal, if you have a chicken that is there for laying eggs and that it generally does that, and potentially even daily, that you kind of, it's almost like you're looking at the chicken and thinking, well, that's more like my pot of raw chunt.
Ah, well, that what you're asking is a question that Gil asked, yeah, which is maybe a slightly different question, sure. Which is bichlal. Maybe at the end of the day, it shouldn't even be a muksa thing.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not.
Yeah, because maybe at the end of the day, if it's there for laying eggs, right, and I can eat the eggs, right? So maybe I should just say, well, you know, the whole chicken has got a purpose. It's Shabbos purpose. It's there for laying eggs. Yeah. So in fact, this is the second thing I did. I wasn't the second question I wanted to ask was this question: why bichlal should the egg or the chicken be muksa? And in fact, so some have showed him actually have
the chicken,
because they're bothered
the chicken,
by this.
I get it. No, the chicken, the factory chicken parnosa, that's a metal chicken. That's a metal chicken. That's,
yeah, but if it has a purpose, because it's going to lay eggs which you can eat.
That's right.
Maybe
the,
it should.
The chicken
should
in itself is just like basically the pot and the blech. That is the combined pot and blech chicken.
Right.
That's like, I can't eat that. That's, otherwise, I'd break
it. Yeah, but it has a purpose, I'm saying. The way you're saying it is you're saying the chicken, in a sense, yeah, it produces something which you need on Shabbos. Which you need on Shabbos.
It produces something that you need on Shabbos. You're still not allowed to use something that produces stuff that you need on Shabbos.
I don't know. Because if it's there for production, yeah, and you know, you're going to be using on Shabbos effectively because it's. So, I mean, the Rishonim speak out this question. And one approach is basically to say, even on an egg-laying chicken, it doesn't necessarily lay an egg every day. So it's not like there's a sugya. Is a bit of a there's a sugya that talks about tsoah, yeah, children tsoah, right? Whether it's a problem on Shabbos or Yontif because of no luck, because it's kind of something new. Yeah, people, you would use the tsoah for certain purposes of like babies or whatever. And I think the Gemara says that it's okay because you have it in mind because it's going to come out, yeah? You know that the child is going to go to the thing and you're going to want to use the tsoah for certain things. So it's for sure going to happen. So therefore, it's within your mind. So they said the contrast is that they have to say, the Tosfos Rid says, no, here it must be that it's not necessarily going to come. It doesn't maybe lay an egg every few days, but it's not for certain, yeah? You don't know for certain it's come, so you don't necessarily have it in mind, yeah? If it was every day, then maybe it would be different. And then the Bala Moore says differently. He wants to say that when you're talking about a chicken, an egg-laying chicken, he wants to say it's actually there not for eating. The eggs that it lays are for basically for growing new chickens, which is a completely different approach. But yeah.
Well, that's really. that's really strange, because I thought that it has to be impregnated. A chicken would have to be impregnated to be able to create one of those chickens.
That's okay, you can still eat those.
What's that?
You can still eat those, it's only a problem after a couple of...
No, I'm saying based on that, how can you... Because a chicken can lay an egg, whether it is or isn't impregnated, which was completely kiddish to make on my point. But that's like unbelievable. What do you mean a chicken can lay an egg without being impregnated? What you I thought chickens are direct plant related, but they did. Okay. But you've got to be very careful. You do want to check that chicken. You have to lift it up with both hands. You have to have the intention to return it.
Right, wait, that's funny.
Yeah.
Like a pot.
Okay,
story
as well. Very good.
Very good.
So, Bez and Shem, we'll get together next Monday.